Lord Jesus, we thank you for loving us and caring enough about us to die for us on that cruel cross. And Lord, as we approach this time in our service this morning, we want to ask that you would please guide the words of our mouth, guide the meditations of our heart. Lord, we ask that you would be able to put your anointing presence on the message today, that it would be what we all need today for our souls and our spirits. Please go with us today. Keep us, and surely we'll give you all the praise. Amen. The song that we just sang now, number 512, notice the very last verse, I believe it is. It says, "Standing on the promises, I cannot fail, or cannot fall, excuse me. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God." I'm particularly interested in the phrase that says, "Listening every moment to the Spirit's call." We want the Spirit of the Lord and the call of that Spirit to be on our lives. We want the Spirit to be manifested in our midst, not only today, but every time we come together. The message today, with the help of the Lord, is something I think we'll have to maybe put our thinking caps on just a little bit. I ask the Lord to help us with our thought. I'd like to begin by turning to the book of Zechariah over in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, I guess we'd call that. I'd like to read in the 12th chapter of Zechariah. I want to read the very first verse. It says, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him." This verse starts out by saying the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. I believe by faith and by an experience of salvation, we are spiritual Israel today. We are not literal Israel because, as far as I know, I am not a descendant biologically of Abraham, although I am part of humankind that was created by God. But it says here, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel." I'd like to think about the burden that the Lord has for us today in the time that we live in, but specifically for today, for this morning. It says, "Saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him." Now this Lord that has a burden for Israel is the same Lord that stretch forth the heavens. When we were between Sunday school and our worship service here, someone asked me about the Big Dipper. Well, I don't really know why the Lord arranged the stars the way He did, but He did. And when we say that the Lord stretched forth the heavens, it encompasses a tremendous array of components out there. There's the sun and the moon and all of the stars. And then all of the other things that is out there in what we perceive as the heavens. I'm thankful for the clouds that bring the rain. I'm thankful for the atmosphere that we have that surrounds our little world that enables us to have life and to be able to be comfortable. There's a lot of things. There's so many intricate components about the heavens, the things that stretched out above the earth that I don't fully understand. And people have studied it for generations upon generations, and they still find new things out there. But the Lord is the one that stretched that all out. And it says here that He layeth the foundation of the earth. What's in the foundation of the earth? People, mankind has discovered ways of extracting what's in the foundations of the earth. We extract minerals. We find necessary elements to produce things that are so essential and crucial to our modern age and time that we live in. There are those components that the only way to get them is from very precise extraction methods. And I was talking to someone recently that lives in western Oklahoma, and they were talking about before the oil prices started tumbling down here recently, they were talking about there's really an oil boom going out. And it's the same area that had an oil boom years ago, but they're finding ways of extracting oil that they didn't have years ago. And one of the techniques that man has developed is horizontal drilling. And that's about as far as I know about it. I just know horizontal means this way, not vertically. And I don't really know what all they do in horizontal drilling, but I know this much, that horizontal drilling has allowed them to extract oil where it's all been pumped out. Or they thought they'd pumped it all out. But not now. But the Lord laid the foundations of the earth. I don't know everything He's put in there, and mankind continually finds things that the Lord already put there. He laid it. I've been there when the foundation of some things have been established, and maybe you remember throwing in that Gatorade bottle before the concrete was poured on top of it, or maybe you had a few extra rocks that you just wanted to throw in, and we'll just cover that up with concrete. Well, the Lord knows what's in there. He laid the foundation of the earth, but that's not all He did. He says here that He formed the spirit of man within Him. And I believe this last phrase is the one we're going to focus on today, is the spirit of man. And this spirit of man is a very complex thing, just like the foundation of the earth is, and just like the heavens are that's above us, and the atmosphere that surrounds us. The spirit of man is something that is beyond just a surface perception. It's more than just a simple little word in the dictionary or a little phrase that kind of catches our attention. The spirit of man is something that dictates the character that we display. The spirit of man is something that manifests what's down inside us. The spirit of man is closely associated with our soul, which is going to be held accountable before God. Another scripture in the New Testament tells us that the Lord in the Word is able to discern between the soul and the spirit. And the only reason He would put the soul and the spirit together in a verse like that is to tell us that they're very closely associated. And anything that's able to divide between the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit is a very precise thing. But the spirit of man has many components, many features about it that causes it to be the spirit. And the Lord, it says, that stretched forth the heavens, that laid the foundations of the earth, He formed the spirit of man within Him. So I want us to think about the spirit of man today. I'd like to turn to Proverbs, the 18th chapter, and notice the 14th verse. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 14. It says here, "The spirit of man will sustain his infirmity." The spirit of man is something that is very powerful. It says it will sustain his infirmity. A person, all of us are blessed with a portion of the spirit of man. You have the spirit of man in you, and I have it in me. And this is not a gender-specific thing. It's in women too. The spirit will sustain us, our spirit will sustain us in difficult circumstances. The spirit of man is a very powerful thing. The heavens that the Lord stretched out is a powerful force to be reckoned with. It's where things like tornadoes develop. It's where things like hurricanes come from. The foundations of the earth is a very powerful component. It's where earthquakes come from. It's where volcano eruptions, the source of that is the foundations of the earth. And likewise, the spirit of man represents a very powerful entity and force that we need to try to have an understanding about. And he says here, the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. There are times when calamity comes. It might be a calamity financially, and a person's spirit sustains them and keeps them through those times. There are times when people have sustained been able to sustain themselves at the time of grave injury. They've been able to hang on to life. And when people look on later, they wonder sometimes, how did that person survive? They should have died because of the accident. They should have not survived the illness. One of the boys read a book here recently, and I don't remember the title, but that's not important. But it was about a man that endured excruciating torments and adversity being a prisoner of war. And we look on this and we think, how did this man survive? And he didn't just barely survive the prisoner of war camp. This man lived to be 90-some years old before he finally passed away. And it's like, that is amazing. This man's spirit, there's no other real, there's people that died in that prisoner of war camp. There are people that did not survive this at all, but this man's spirit sustained him in his situation of difficulty. And your spirit has the power, it has the ability of sustaining you during times of difficulty. With two things that will help. One is, it has to be a healthy spirit. And two is, with the help of God. You're not an entity that's supremely capable without God's help. But I want to tell you, with God's help and a healthy spirit in man, it is a tremendous force to be reckoned with. Okay? But I want to read the rest of this verse. Proverbs 18 and 14 says, "But a wounded spirit, who can bear?" A wounded spirit is a crippling element. A wounded spirit. Did you know that if you took the heavens that were stretched above us and around us, and you took out one component, and it was wounded, that we all would suffer? If you took out an element that's in the foundation of the earth, that makes it the foundation of the earth, did you know that it would have catastrophic effect on our survival? So did you know that if something happens to the spirit of man to where it's injured, it's wounded, it's not healthy, it's distorted, or it's handicapped, did you know that it impacts that person in their ability to contend with all kinds of things in their life? A wounded spirit. Did you know someone with a wounded spirit is more apt to die from minor illnesses? Did you know that somebody with a wounded spirit is more susceptible to things like discouragement and other elements that people... You look, maybe someone with a healthy spirit and a good contact with God would look on and say, why did they give up? Why did they give up? And many times if you start looking in to that particular situation, you find that that person has a wounded spirit. And if they have a wounded spirit, it's something that's very debilitating. This verse says, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Who is it that can... Have you ever seen someone that just barely functions and it just kind of goes through the motions, so to speak, but you might say their heart is not really in it? That's somebody with a wounded spirit. A wounded spirit, who can bear? You know, all of us are susceptible to having our spirits wounded. All of us. There is no one here that is immune from injuries that can happen to your spirit. I'm included in that, and everyone else is included in that. And if your spirit is wounded, it's going to impact you, and you impact someone else. And it's just going to be, there's going to be a peripheral effect all around us. A wounded spirit. I'd like to turn now to Luke, the third chapter. It's Mark, the third chapter. I woke up this morning about 4:30, 10 minutes to 5, and this scripture was on my mind, and I went in there and added it to my notes, and I wasn't the most alert, so let's go to Mark, the third chapter and the 27th verse. Jesus' words here, he says, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. You're not going to take something away from a strong man out of his own house except you first bind the strong man. You're not going to come and take something away from someone that's fully alert and capable of protecting their stuff until you quarantine the strong man. So, I've already told you that I felt like the spirit of man is a very powerful element. It is something that is very beneficial to us. And it is imperative that we endeavor to have a healthy spirit in tune with God and one that is courageous. The Lord wants us to have healthy spirits. It's the thing that drives our character and our disposition and our attitude toward life and our capability and our just us, the spirit of man, see? But the devil knows how to go about trying to bind the strong man and to injure and to wound our spirits. Because if he could make everybody in here limp and maimed and crippled and hobbling along and can't see where you're going, so to speak, he'd do it to every one of us. And he is trying every day of our lives to wound and injure our spirits. Because it is a powerful force, and he knows he cannot cause us to do wrong and to partake of his vices and all that until he gets us in a place where our spirit is wounded. And if our spirit becomes wounded, he knows that he can spoil our house. He can take things away from us. He can take the good things away from us when he's got our spirit wounded. I'd like to turn now to Luke chapter 13. Well, I'd like to read an account that I trust that you won't find fault with my perception of what is happening here. Luke chapter 13, we'll begin in verse 10. It says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath." This is talking about Jesus. "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, 'Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people, 'There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them therefore come and be healed, not on the Sabbath day.' And the Lord answered him and said, 'Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day?'" I would like to examine this little passage a little closer today. How many of us believe that this woman was physically bent over and couldn't straighten up? Has that been your perspective of what's happening? Well, you don't have to be shy. That's what I've always felt like it was too. I've always felt like this was someone that had a real physical ailment and was bent over, stooped, and couldn't straighten up. And I'm not saying that it couldn't have been that, but I feel like the Lord has opened something else up to me today, or for us today. The 16th verse, it says, Jesus says, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham..." A daughter of Abraham is an Israelite, is she not? We started out our little thought today by saying that by faith and the grace of God, we can be spiritual Israel. Right? All on that same page? I have to put her thinking cap on a little bit here. So if she is a daughter of Abraham, if you are a daughter or a son of Abraham, we are spiritual Israel today by the grace and the power of God. And if we are a daughter or a son of Abraham spiritually, do you know that Satan would like to have you in some kind of bondage? He'd like for your spirit to be wounded. He'd like to have you in captivity. 18 years is a long time. It don't seem like near as long today as it did when I was 17. But 18 years is a long time. 18 years is the length of time that we say someone has to live in our United States before we consider them an adult. I'm talking about from birth. You're born here, you'll be 18 years old before they'll recognize you as an adult officially. Don't mean you can't start acting like one sooner than that, but this woman, Satan was involved here. I believe Satan is an author of a physical affliction. All right? But I believe he's also the author, Satan is the author of wounding spirits. And he's the author of causing people to be stooped and bent over. And having injuries to where they can't look up. So begin looking at this verse up above here. In verse 11, I believe. It says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity." We have a term in our world today for someone that has a spirit of infirmity. We're talking about in the medical and maybe the psychological realm. We call those kind of people hypochondriacs. Somebody that has, they think they're sick when they're not sick. This woman had a spirit of infirmity. This is not the Spirit of God. It's not the spirit of man that God formed in you to begin with. We read the verse there in Proverbs that talked about the spirit of man sustaining him in infirmity. In infirmity. This verse says this woman had a spirit of infirmity. For our spirit to be strong and healthy and sustain us in a time of disaster and injury and affliction, it's different than something that has a spirit. The spirit of infirmity makes us susceptible to every little thing that comes along. The spirit of infirmity was on this woman. This word infirmity comes from a Greek word that means feebleness. And this feebleness could be of body or the mind. It means a malady. It means frailty. That's the Greek word that was used. That's the meaning of it. Our translators chose to use the word infirmity. But it means feebleness. Could be feebleness of the mind, feebleness of the body, a frailty. I go on in that verse, and it says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together." This phrase, "bowed together," comes from a Greek expression that means to stoop all together. It means completely overcome. This woman was completely overcome with something that had a spiritual impact on her. It was a spiritual influence of frailty. And she was completely overcome with the spirit of frailty. A spirit of sickness. Okay. And the last part of this verse says, and could in no wise lift up herself. She could not lift up herself. And this lift up comes from a Greek word that means to unbend. That is to rise, figuratively to be elated. To lift up or look up. It says, and this woman could in no wise look up herself. She could not, if you'll allow me to say it this way, she couldn't look other people in the eye. Her spirit was wounded. She had a spirit of infirmity, a spirit of sickness, a spirit of frailty. She wasn't able to look someone else in the eye. But it could be a man too. There was something that was wounded in her spirit. And when the strong man is bound, then Satan is going to spoil the house. He's going to take the goods away. He's going to take the joy away. He's going to take the peace away. He's going to take the contentment away. He's going to wreak havoc in your life once he has your spirit wounded to where it can't defend itself. He's going to come in and take your precious things away, the things that's so important, the things that's so valuable, the things that mean so much. He's going to rip them away from you. But he knows he can't do that if your spirit's healthy. So he wants to impose on us many different kinds of spirits. And the spirit today we're talking about is the spirit of infirmity. This woman, Jesus went on to say, had been bound by Satan 18 years. You know, I don't believe that she was got this spirit of infirmity by coming in contact with a virus or a nutrient deficiency, or an accident, physical accident, or by poor hygiene. She had come under spiritual attack. That's why Jesus and others around her, it wasn't Jesus' words, it was Luke's words, others around her had observed that she had a spirit of infirmity. This was not the spirit that God formed in her originally. She had another spirit. A spirit of weakness. A spirit of frailty. And she got to the point that she could not look up. She could not look other people in the eye. She didn't have any confidence. She was very susceptible to accusations and to fears and to torments. The devil was spoiling her house because he had bound the strong man. And notice what Jesus did in the 13th verse. And he laid hands on her, talking about Jesus. He laid hands on her and immediately she was made straight. She was made straight comes from a Greek expression to mean to straighten up. To straighten up. She was made straight and glorified God. Did she say praise the Lord? I think so. But it was more than that. Did you know that you don't have to go out and try to encourage the environment to display the magnificence of God? It just does it. It just oozes out all over. You don't have to do anything to the foundation of the earth to make it portray the majesty of its creator. There's confidence in our atmosphere. There's confidence in the foundation of the earth. And there's confidence in the spirit of man that's healthy in its relationship with God. And it's healthy when it's not been injured by Satan with some other kind of spirit. You know, sometimes we tell our children to straighten up. When they're acting like they're under the influence of some other kind of spirit, it might be a spirit of rebellion, it might be a spirit of antagonizing their younger sibling, it might be a spirit of being uncooperative, whatever kind of spirit it is, we'll turn to our child and maybe shake our finger and say, you better straighten up. Sometimes we even lay hands on them. Jesus laid hands on this woman, and she straightened up. Her spirit was healed. That spirit of infirmity left her. Now, did she go around shouting and praising God all the time? Probably not as much verbally as she did with how she conducted herself. She was able to look people in the eye. She wasn't bowed over. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody that could not look at you? You don't know if they're trying to ignore you or they're just afraid of you, or you don't know what's going on. You don't have to stare at me when I'm talking to you. But I would kind of like to make a little eye contact. I would like to be able to realize that you are paying attention to me. I was speaking to somebody here recently, been a week or so ago, and they had a habit of... I noticed it happened with other people. It wasn't just me, because that would have made me feel bad that something wrong with me. But anyway, I was talking to this person, and when I was talking to them, they were looking up this way and looking up that way, and then they'd look this way and look. And it was like, I'm right here. I'm not up there somewhere. Just at least glance at me once in a while. Well, you see, this woman was under the control of something that had injured her spirit. And Jesus touched her, and she straightened up. And she was able to interact and manifest the spirit that God had put in her in the beginning, see? Now I'd like for us to turn to Luke, the 4th chapter. And notice Jesus reading from the book of Isaiah. And realize the hope for each one of us today. Luke 4 and 18, it says, Jesus reading from the book Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and he gave it again unto the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus came to provide a touch for wounded spirits. Everything I believe that he addresses in the 18th verse is the result of a wounded spirit. He says he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To heal the brokenhearted comes from Greek words that mean to cure or make whole the thoughts or feelings. To cure or make whole the thoughts and the feelings. Did you know if something is broken, we have physical heart attacks sometimes, and it's because something is not whole, it's broken in there, there's a problem. But he's not talking about that when he says he came to heal the brokenhearted. Although I believe there is a provision for healing physical bodies through the atonement of the blood of Jesus. I believe that. But he's talking about a broken spirit. He's talking about something that has been injured, and the devil is in there spoiling the house. Did you know that if you have a broken heart, that the devil will prey on you, and he will cause you to lose valuable things, particularly time in your life? He will steal it away and cast it by the wayside and cause you to be destitute because your spirit has been wounded and you have a broken heart. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. Do you know people that have wounded spirits, the devil begins to captivate them to where that they're prisoners of their own minds. They can't get beyond what's in their head. What's in their head keeps them a prisoner. And you and I may look on and say, why don't you just straighten up and fly right? Why don't you do that? And they can't because they're a prisoner in their own mind, and their spirit is wounded, and they're looking around and they can't see. They don't see any way out. But their spirit is wounded. Their heart's broken. But Jesus came to give deliverance to the captives. If you're a prisoner in your mind, if you're a prisoner in your own ideas, if you're a captive of someone else's ideas, there's deliverance for that. We can get shed of that with the help of the Lord. Not because of we're so great in ourselves. It's through the power of Jesus. Jesus said, this day, we live in the day of Jesus Christ, being able to heal broken hearts, to deliver captives, to set them free. He says here, recovering of sight to the blind. I believe that there is recovery for physical sight through the blood and the atonement of Jesus Christ. But I don't believe that's specifically what he's talking about. I believe he's talking about those that have lost the vision of what it means to live for God. I believe it's talking about those that have lost their perspective of what's right, of what their obligation is to uphold the essence of Christianity in the world today. They've lost that. They're blind. The boys, one of them, I think it was this morning, or anyway, they were trying to agitate me a little bit and pretend like I couldn't see something, and I told them, I got glasses now, I can see. Well, that's not the type of vision he's talking about here, but he's talking about us being able to recover sight. Recover that. Be able to have a clear vision. You know, the scripture tells us, without a vision, the what? The people perish. Why is it? If your spirit is broken and you become blind and distorted, the devil's going to come in. The strong man has been bound, see? And the devil's going to come in and start spoiling you and pouring one more bag of rubbish on you after another until you're lost. But Jesus came back here to give us recovery of our sight. He says to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruised. To put in freedom those that are crushed or under pressure. You ever felt under pressure? Have you ever felt the pressure and the obligation that other people were trying to put on you? Expectations? unrealistic ideas and all of that. You know, the devil would like to wound your spirit with that. He'd like to cause you to be crushed. He'd like you to be bruised. You know, you can have a bruise sometimes on your physical body and it not be real apparent until you touch something. And then it can be very sensitive. You know, we can have bruises in our spirit to where we are, as we would say today, hypersensitive. Something that just kind of comes close in this area makes us cringe. And maybe we can get a whiff or a smell of something and other people ain't caught it yet. You know, Jesus came to heal broken hearts. He came to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised. I'd like to read you the words of a couple songs. If we have a broken spirit today, I want you to know that Jesus is there. He wants to heal broken hearts. He wants your spirit to be strong. You know, God did not design our spirits to be weak and anemic. He intended for the spirit of man, as the writer in Proverbs said, to sustain him in infirmity, to help you be able to persevere. One song that came to my mind says, "Have you failed in life's battle to accomplish your plans? Is your heart heavy laden? Do you fear the Lord's command? Do you feel that no one loves you and there's no use to try?" See, there's an injury here. There's a wounded spirit. Just bring your cares to Jesus. Your soul He'll satisfy. The next verse says, "You may feel that there's no hope. Broken hearts just cannot mend. Though you're torn in many pieces, Christ can make you whole again." He touched that woman that had been afflicted, I think, in the spirit. Her spirit, she had the spirit of infirmity. She didn't have the spirit that God had endued her with, that had formed in her. Storms of doubts and fear, storms of doubt blow in all directions. But don't be afraid. God can make all corrections. He made a body out of clay. The chorus says, "Pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Pick up the broken pieces. Trust in His holy word. He will put them back together and make your life complete. Just place the broken pieces at the Savior's feet." Another song that came to my mind says, "Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed?" See, that's the goods that the devil wants to steal away from us. Tell it to Jesus. "Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to man's eye are hidden? Do you have something that you're trying to hold out of people's sight? You know that'll cause your spirit to be wounded? Tell it to Jesus. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? For Christ's coming kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus." Part of the chorus says, "He is a friend that's well known. You have no other. tell it to Jesus. So this morning, I'd like to challenge you, if you feel that through the cares and trials and tests of life, your spirit has been wounded, I want to challenge you to tell it to Jesus. To bring the broken pieces and realize that the Lord can make you whole again. You pray for me.